Hey, Loco sports fans, this episode of the podcast is brought to you by the eFit Club in Belfair Town Village. If you want to go loco about your fitness in 2020, but you think you don't have the time, you need to go check out the eFit Club. It's one of the area's newest gyms and certainly one of the most unique. The eFit Club uses the latest technology and personal training to get you fit in the fastest, easiest, and most fun way possible. The eFit Club is a one-of-a-kind experience that you have to see to believe. Stop in anytime for a facility tour and meet the friendly staff of personal trainers. I guarantee you'll be blown away just like I was. And just in time for the new year, the eFit Club has created an 8-week New Year, New You weight loss program. It's a comprehensive nutrition and fitness weight loss program starting January 13th. It includes meal planning and fitness planning at the eFit Club, all for only $199. And if you sign up before December 31st, you get a $20 discount. So change your fitness and change your life in 2020 at eFit Club in Belfair Town Village. Hey, Loco sports fans, welcome to another edition of the Loco Sports Lowdown podcast. We are back after our little holiday break. I'm your host, Justin Jarrett, and I'm joined as always by Wes Kerr. And Wes, I hope you and your family had a wonderful holiday break. I definitely miss talking local sports with you, though, so it's great to be back here on the podcast. What did you guys do over the holidays?
It was a nice holiday break. I did end up going to, I had to cover the Seahawks Holiday Classic, of course, but other than that, had some nice time at home with friends and family and really enjoyed the holiday season and excited once again to bring these listeners some great local sports coverage, but it was a much needed break.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got away to down to Destin, Florida with my family and then met up with my wife's family on Hilton Head for a few days. So it was nice to kind of unplug a little bit. Still had to write about a few local games and stuff, but nice to get a little bit of a break. But I'm ready to get back at it. I'm excited for region play and basketball and for, you know, the wrestlers getting down into their weight classes and really starting to see who's got what. And it's going to be a fun into winter season. So we've got a lot of basketball to talk about, a lot of wrestling. We've also got some signing day coverage for you. Just a little bit of everything this week on the podcast. And we're going to start, as you mentioned, Wes, with the Holiday Classic. The Seahawk Holiday Classic grew this year from 16 teams to 32, 16 of each gender. Just an awesome tournament, growing every year. And you saw some amazing talent there at Hilton Head High School. Tell us a little bit about what you saw last weekend at the big tournament.
A bunch of outstanding teams playing in this tournament. And I'll give you some top players from both the boys and the girls. We'll start with the boys from Santa Fe High School in Florida. Ernest Ross was a really great player, 6'9" freak who dunked all over the competition. Not only tall, but he's strong, and he's a hard guy to stop from scoring. Great rebounding effort all tournament long. He's got offers from Florida, Xavier, Oklahoma State, Ole Miss, and Virginia Tech. So very well-recruited guy. Deontay Blance from East Lake, the gold bracket champions. Outstanding scorer, doing it from all points on the court. He's averaging 25 points per game this season. He's already committed to Murray State. If we see a future college star from this tournament, most likely it could be him. He dominated the final against Santa Fe, 24.7 assists, 4 rebounds to claim the tournament MVP. And here comes the next John Morant to Murray State, perhaps.
I was going to say, Murray State's getting that South Carolina pipeline going with Morant. Now they're going to dip down into Florida. They're getting some good players from down in this part of the country.
Yeah, awesome. Blanche could be that next guy. Cole Sinclair from Durham, nice turn, especially in the championship. He made 9 threes in that loss to Archbishop Alter. May have been the closest thing to Steph Curry since Steph Curry played in this tournament. Heck of a tournament. For a guy who averages 15 points per game, he's the second Durham Academy boys basketball player to hit 9. And Brady Ewell for the boys champions, Archbishop Alter out of the silver bracket from Ohio. Fantastic score. He was named the tournament MVP. Both of these teams shot at a monster clip, and Archbishop Alter just a little better in that final, but what a game it was. Moving on to the girls' side of the tournament, Brigitte Trevino from Oviedo girls' silver bracket. Guard, you can drive well, shoot the long-distance shot, and she also has really active hands on defense. She helped the Lions on all sides of the ball, named the tournament MVP. We got Jordan Hodges out of Monacan, Virginia. 3-point specialist. She does very well at the free throw line as well. A solid ball distributor. great performance in this tournament. And rounding it out, Victoria Eniafe from the Murray School in Washington, D.C. Now, Zaya Menes was actually the tournament MVP, Murray winning the gold girls bracket. But I thought Eniafe was actually the more effective player in the tournament. She was an all-star rebounder, cleaned up well at the rim, shot perfect 6-for-6 with 13 points in the championship. I would have given it to Eniafe, but Zaya Menes played well too. It was a tough decision. They got a lot of talent.
Well, anytime you've got, you know, two players that are equally qualified for the most outstanding player of the tournament, you've got a pretty solid team to start with there. That's a strong squad.
But yeah, very outstanding tournament. Congratulations to all the tournament MVPs, all the champions, and excited to see how far this tournament has come over the years and looking forward to next year.
Awesome. Yeah, great to see some great talent from outside the area come to the island and put on a show for the local fans and really show us, you know, high quality basketball. But of course, we've got some solid teams right here in the Loco. And now we're going to go into you've named it now, Wes, the Loco Whip Around, our power rankings. We're going to start it off with the public school boys, where we have a consensus on the number one team in the area. Kind of a no brainer at this point. It's the Whale Ranch Warriors. They went 3-0 since our last recording. They beat Bluffton, Ridgeland Hardyville, and Battery Creek. So they are sweeping through the local competition. That makes 2 out of 3 against Ridgeland Hardyville. So they take the season series off of them. And Whale Branch is looking really good, Wes. Sean Chisholm is continuing to play very well. Nick Pringle is really not even their first option right now, which is a pretty amazing thing. I think that team's got something special going on.
Yeah, they keep on rolling whether or not Nick Pringle plays. Not only are they winning, but they're winning convincingly. Their defense has improved. Chisholm is an extraordinary compliment to Pringle, but a big test next Saturday against a very good Porter God team.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. They're going up to Charleston for the Lowcountry Showcase, taking on Porter Gowd. And I think that's going to be a really good test for them and just kind of give them an idea of where they stand, because I think they have a chance to be a state championship contender in Class 2A. But they're going to have to go out and get tested by teams like Porter Gowd to be ready for the playoffs. So that's going to be a fun test for them. And then one other thing we wanted to plug, Nick Pringle is hosting his Trays for Trey free camp on January 18th at Whale Ranch High School. That is to honor his late brother. So, you know, we sent a little donation in, and we'd just like to encourage everyone who can to support that in whatever way they can, because anytime you see a young man like Nick Pringle who's trying to put positive energy into his community and give back to the kids, we definitely want to step up and support that. So everyone who can, go on Facebook, Trays for Trey, T-R-E-Y-S for T-R-E-Y, and see if you can help out in any way. That would be awesome.
Love to see players give back to the community. That's an amazing thing that Nick Pringle does, and I'm hoping it will go so well. And so thank you to Nick Pringle for putting that on, taking care of that experience, and that's so awesome that he does that.
Absolutely, yeah. Hopefully it gets going and is around for many years to come. But, well, we're going to move on from Whale Branch now, our clear-cut number one, and it gets a whole lot muddier after that. Wes, you've got Bluffton at number two, which I was a little surprising to see after they went 1-2 in the Bobcat Classic, although they did play pretty tough competition the last two games. What sold you on the Bobcats as your number two team over Ridgeland Hardyville, who you've got at three? I think I would have flip-flopped those.
Yeah, I originally had Ridgeland Hardyville at two, and then I swapped it last minute. I think it was just because of the head-to-head competition, but...
Yeah, I figured it was the head-to-head that got you, and I considered that too. But I think right now the Jaguars are playing at a little bit higher level. Bluffton with a win over they lost to Whale Branch, and they beat Charleston Collegiate in the first round of the Bobcat Classic, then lost to the eventual champion Dawson County, as well as South Point. So played some tough competition. That's South Point out of Belmont, North Carolina, by the way, not the one out of Rock Hill, South Carolina. So they had some tough competition there. They played fairly well. Tyler Rice and Lee Kirkland are putting up nice numbers. I think it's splitting hairs between them and Ridgeland Hardyville, but I like what the Jaguars did this week. They were really balanced. They went into the Orangeburg County Sweet 16 tournament, which is a really tough tournament. Made it all the way to the championship game before they lost to Bishop England, which is undefeated and ranked, I believe, number 3 or 4 in Class 3A. So a really tough slate for them. They got a huge win over Spartanburg High, which was very impressive in the semifinals, and also beat a solid Woodland team. So I'm impressed with Ridgeland Hardyville right now and the work that Kevin Wilson's doing there. They're a little inconsistent early in the season, but you know, he dealt with some disciplinary issues and made sure he got everyone on the same page, set the tone early, and now they're really playing well, and I'm excited to see what they can do.
And I think a little bit of the power rankings, why people could put Ridgeland Hardyville ahead, is the whole recency bias. What have you done the past week? Sometimes that can skew things over. I still think, I originally, like I said, put Ridgeland Hardyville ahead of Bluffton, then I changed my mind at the last second. But either way, they're both great teams, great competition. That Woodland game was pretty impressive. Four players scored in double figures. Rashard Baker had 16 points, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks, 3 steals. Dennis Holmes had a double-double. And then an awesome semifinal win and a tough loss at the end to Bishop England. But Bishop England's a top 10 team in South Carolina, you could argue. Easily for that. There's a big debate between these two teams. Malik Singleton's really found his groove again. Dennis Holmes, along with Rashard Baker, been excellent supporting players. They have a bunch of core contributors, making them, I think, even harder to defend, but great to see some sustained success after a little shaky period in that year.
Yep, I think they're going to be a factor. And one of their region rivals is May River. We've got them at number 4, and they were a little out of their depth this past weekend. They went up to Clover High School for a tournament and played some powerful opponents, including Northwestern and Clover, and came away winless. So tough week for May River. I think they're going to be okay in a competitive region. Same for Hilton Head High. They went 1-2 in the Holiday Classic and lost to Richmond Hill on Saturday. So they're off to a little bit of a rough start, but starting to put things together a little bit. You saw them in the Holiday Classic. What do you think about the Seahawks going into region play?
Well, it wasn't a great showing, but the bottom line, I think, is that they're improving, and that's what you want to do in a holiday tournament, is to improve from game 1 to game 3. And I think they did that. The win over Ferguson, a great sign they can overcome adversity. In that Ferguson game, they trailed by 7 at the half. They had a spark by it. After halftime, Sam Suna, Aiden Morrell combined for 21 points. Hilton Head Island's offense really did well in that second half, along with some strong defense complementing offense in that game. Sam Suma, Gaston Moore, Dean Siobhak, even Aiden Morrell can contribute to the team's efforts, and they really bind to the defensive intensity preached by Shane Brown. This will not be an easy team to beat come region time, and I think they could pull out a surprise or two.
Yeah, I think they're going to be the kind of team that just plays everybody tough and is competitive. And like you said, maybe a couple of those go their way. So I think most of the games in that region are going to be fairly competitive. And, you know, if you take care of the ball and you make your free throws, you're going to have a chance to win every night. So it's going to be fun to see how that develops and if they can continue to improve. Moving across the bridge to Beaufort High, they've had a little bit of a tough stretch here, but they come out of the holiday break with a win over Charleston Collegiate to finish 1-2 in the Bobcat Classic. And Jamad Rivers poured in 34 in that game. He had a huge tournament, had, I believe, 12, 24, and 34 in the tournament. So a big weekend for him. Zyron Odom averaged 15 and 15 in the tournament to make the all-tournament team. Very impressive from a sophomore big man for them. Much like Hilton Head High, I feel like, you know, Beaufort High is a scrappy team that stays in games, keeps it close, and it may not turn into wins this year, but there's a lot of positive being built there for Jeremy Huff.
Yeah, I think their defense has been pretty poor lately. They've allowed around 69 points the last stretch, which is pretty high at the high school level. You want to allow a little less than that. But Zyron Odom has been stuffing the stat sheet, churning out those double-doubles with performance by him and Jamad Rivers against Charleston Collegiate. Maybe that is the game that they want as they head into January. They'll be tested right away with some contests against May River and Whale Branch.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to talk to Huff about it yet, but I get the feeling from looking at those recent scores that they've just decided their best chance is just to run and gun and see if they can outscore people and, you know, make people uncomfortable. And it seems to be, you know, at least keeping them in games. That may be the best way for them to be competitive right now, and we'll see if we can turn those into wins. But rounding out our rankings, we've got Battery Creek. They've had a tough stretch. Obi Wilson with a nice game and a loss to Colleton County, putting up 26. They lost to Colleton by 18 the first time and cut it down to 9 in the rematch. So hopefully that's a sign that Battery Creek's moving in the right direction. I still like C.J. Brown there. I think he's brought a new energy to that program, and hopefully they can start to get some W's.
Yeah, it's an improvement, but still some troubling times for the Dolphins. They definitely were in that game with Colleton. Obi Wilson has been keeping them alive in a couple games. They play Bluffton Hilton Head soon. I think that they can hang with the Seahawks and put up a solid effort against the Bobcats, but it all comes down to how the coach can motivate the players to keep grinding as this team continues to get better.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of unseen stuff happens during Christmas break with, you know, teams putting in the work behind the scenes and things like that. So we'll see who comes out in the new year and comes out firing and gets the W's as we go into 2020. Well, let's shift gears over to the private school boys ranks. And once again, I think we're in agreement on number one, although I think there's a lot. This one's a lot less clear cut. We've got Buford Academy at number one. They've lost twice to the defending Skeezah 1A champion Clarendon Hall, but they closed the gap a little bit in the second meeting. They've been off for a good little while now. They should be well rested and ready for a huge game on Friday at Hilton Head Prep. And Wes, are you excited about this BAHHP game on Friday?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there for sure. I'll be at that game interviewing and reporting over at Prep. And they haven't had a bad loss so far, BA, and they've, judging by that Clarendon result, they were within 10 with 3 minutes left, and the Saints pulled away, but very, very much more competitive after losing by 49 the first meeting. They've got the most talented private team in the area, and a lot will be determined very soon as they get ready to face Prep and Christian Academy. Very excited for Friday night.
Now, 2, 3, and 4 in the private school ranks, I think we could shake these up and draw them out of a hat and nobody would know any different. You've got John Paul II at number 2 after a 63-46 win over Northside. Rico Anderson doing it big in that one. Hilton Head Christian Academy at 3rd after they won the Kevin Brophy Invitational and lost in the finals of the Bullock Academy Holiday Tournament. And then Hilton Head Prep at 4th. And I really feel like these three teams are pretty even and could all beat each other up during the regular season. It's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
Yeah, John Paul II, very nice win over Northside. A couple guys with Anderson Knight and now Malone Kennard Huesinger, who can give many an opponent a tough game. Like you said, hard to differentiate two through four right now, but John Paul, the slight upper hand for the Christian Academy Eagles, impressive holidays. Harrington and Hargrove dominated the end of the month. Floyd has really become the go-to guy and as consistent as can be. It was nearly a double championship, but unfortunately they ran out of steam in that last game. But I cannot wait to see them play Buford Academy. January 7th will be a big one for Skeezah basketball. And Hilton Head Prep, nice job to come back once again this year at number 4 against Habersham. They struggled to put many quarters together, one on top of the other. They have one guy who can put up really big numbers in Tyrone Calloway, but if you can slow him down, you can slow much of that Dolphin offense down as well. They need some more stuff from those newer, younger guys if they want to sniff a deep run in Skeezah this year.
Yeah, the good news for the Dolphins is they do have a legendary coach in Jerry Faulkner, who I'm sure will get the most out of the talent that is available to him. So it's going to be fun to see how that region shakes out. And don't count out Thomas Hayward. I mean, they're at number 5 in the rankings pretty clearly right now, but they got a couple dudes. Louis Smith and Zach Black are putting up big numbers, and you know, they can give you problems. Those guys are both big, strong kids in the post, and for certain teams, they're going to be a really tough matchup.
Yeah, Thomas Hayward with a good win over Calhoun. Double doubles from Louis Smith and Zach Black, both playing very well this week. Still much to learn from them this year. At least they have a very good core in Zach Black. They have some key guys who can get the job done, but after that, still pretty thin bench.
We'll see how they can do going the rest of the way. And before we shift gears to the girls' side, let's pick our performers of the week for boys basketball. Wes, who you got?
I got Daniel Harrington of the Christian Academy Eagles, led them to one championship and almost another. Team high 24 points in the championship game. Outstanding defense, led to a couple fast breaks, 5.3 rebounds, 3 assists, 3.7 steals, and 3.3 deflections, 3 games over that break. And he's leading Eagle team who's really finding their groove just as we approach that key month of January.
Yeah, Travis Pretty's really excited about the way he plays out at the top of their press. The defense is really fueling the offense for him, and the Eagles are going to be tough in region play. And I'm giving mine to another Eagle from Buford High School, Zyron Odom. Again, the results for the team are not there, but Zyron is putting up huge numbers. Made the all-tournament team at the Bluffton Bobcat Classic, averaging 15 points and 15 boards, and he was 1 point away from having a double-double in all 3 games in the tournament. So just a sophomore, Zyron is going to be a monster for Jeremy Huff, and he's already putting up huge numbers. He's my performer of the week, and you may notice that Ridgeland Hardyville with a great performance this week. No honorees in the performer of the week. I think we may hear more about them later on in the show.
Maybe so.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll be back to talk girls hoops on the Loco Sports Lowdown podcast.
Hey, Loco Sports fans. This is where we talk about sponsors. But you might notice we are not, in fact, talking about sponsors. If you're quick at putting two and two together, you might have deduced that we need sponsors. But in order to attract more sponsors, we need more listeners. If you love listening to over an hour of local sports news, analysis, and interviews every week, do us a solid and tell everyone you know about Loco Sports and the Loco Sports Lowdown podcast. Share it on Facebook. Heck, post it on Pinterest. And if you want to become a sponsor for as low as $7.50 an episode, yes, that's accurate, and have Loco Sports fans hear about your business every week, hit us up at locosports@gmail.com. That's L-O-W-C-O, like low country, locosports@gmail.com. And go Loco.
Okay, Loco Sports fans, moving on to girls basketball now. And once again, we'll start with the public schools, and we'll start with a clear-cut number one. They got the head-to-head win over our number two team a couple weeks ago, and they kept on rolling with some impressive results. It's the Bluffton Bobcats. They won the YC Windborne Holiday Classic up in Rock Hill, knocked off Whale Branch, and have just been off to a fantastic season, and I'm excited to see them in the B-Town Classic this week to see how they do against some competition from outside the area.
Yeah, well, they got two all-stars right now, Tatiana Aiken and Takoya Hayward, and in that Rock Hill game over the break, Hayward, the school record, 34 points, including 28 in the second half. They were down 14-3 in that game. They were down 7 at halftime. Then they outscored Rock Hill 45-21 in that second half. Tatiana Aiken also had a nice game, 16.7 rebounds. But Aiken named the tournament most outstanding player. Hayward to the alternate team. What a performance in that tournament for the Bluffton Bobcats. Wow, this took Takoya Hayward, unreal. And she's only an eighth grader. I thought this region would be a competitive dogfight, but now we have a clear-cut number one. It's going to take a lot for anyone to take down Bluffton by how well they're playing right now. I think Hayward and Aiken are playing some incredible basketball. They got some depth, too. Give some credit to Lonnie Roberts building this team from a mediocre season last year, because they look like quite a force so far.
Yeah, absolutely. They're looking outstanding. You mentioned Hayward, only an eighth grader, and she was already a all-state performer in track and field in two events last year as a seventh grader. So just a phenomenal athlete. I think she finished fourth in the 100 in the long jump, which is just unbelievable as a seventh grader. So a fantastic athlete. It's going to be so much fun to watch her and Aiken play together this season. I only wish Aiken had a couple years left so we could see them play together for several years. But it's going to be really fun this year to see how far the Bobcats can go. And then our clear number two is the Whale Branch Warriors. You know, they lost the head-to-head game against Bluffton, but they've been able to take care of everyone else around here and had a nice showing at the Blackville Hilda Hawk Invitational, going 3-1 over the break. Kainu Barnwell continues to play outstanding. Jasmine Diaz and Johnny Thompson are also solid players, so they've really got a three-headed monster. They were able to beat Battery Creek even without Barnwell, which was very impressive. And I like this Whale Branch team. Latoya Mack has got something special going on there.
Yeah, and they had a great effort against the Still. They almost came back, coming up short by two, and Kainu Barnwell scored 22 points in that second half, nearly led the Warriors back in that game, and third place game the tournament, closing out with the event, holding Ridge Spring Momentum to single digits in every quarter, and a casual 19 points from Kainu Barnwell in that one. And she's making her case for the best player in this area as well, and the Warriors keep on winning. Resilience is outstanding. Barnwell's not there, then you get Zani Thompson and Jasmine Diaz taking over the opposition. Thinking maybe can make a case to even put them at number one if they keep playing like this, because Mac is doing a whale of a job, no pun intended there, coaching up this team.
You sure that wasn't intended, Wes? No, they're looking good. They'll get another head-to-head crack at Bluffton later on in the season, and we'll see how that goes. But now we've got the team that I think we probably would have agreed was our number one going into the season is now checking in at number three with May River. They've played some really tough competition, went 1-2 at the Savannah Holiday Classic, and then the same record, 1-2 at the Battle of Buckhead up in Atlanta. But coming out of both of those tournaments with a win is a bit of a moral victory. They played some really tough competition, and they're going to be a factor. They're strong on defense, and I still think they are probably the favorite to win their region. We'll just have to see how it shakes out as the season goes on.
Yeah, and it's early. They haven't been as consistent as I thought, and they've dropped a couple that I thought they could have taken. But as long as they keep everyone healthy, should be able to continue to be a challenger in 3A. But it seems like they've been missing the game-by-game excellence I thought they would be seeing from them. They need Demopoulos and Grace Drury to keep producing at their highest capability to get where I think they could get at the end of the year. They haven't lived up to the lofty expectations so far, but it's still early. There's lots riding on their performance in the next couple of weeks as we head into January.
Absolutely. And then at number four, we've got Beaufort High. A little bit of an inconsistent start to the season, but the Eagles have definitely one of the most dominant offensive players in the area with Layla Warren, who continues to put up huge points. She had, I believe, four consecutive games with 20-plus, maybe five, before she finally lost the streak with 19 points against Ridgeland Hardyville. So Layla Warren is playing great, and that team just has not had a ton around her, but they're starting to develop those role players, and I think they're going to be a factor down the stretch.
Yeah, Layla Warren has played so well. Right now, they're the true middle-of-the-road 500 team. It's been an up-and-down season. They've beaten the teams they should, but they haven't been able to beat the best teams in the area. Layla Warren, clearly the leader, and at one point she could do no wrong picking up those 20-point games after 20-point games. One-girl show right now. The rest of the team will have to try to rise their play to her to contend with Bluffton. She's given us a lot of shout-outs on social media, so thanks for the publicity there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Layla's a good kid. We're rooting for her for sure. Hilton Head Seahawks coming in at number five. You could probably make the case to bump them up a little bit. It was a weird holiday break for them because a very disappointing 0-3 at their own tournament, but then they went down to Tampa Bay Christmas Invitational and went 2-1. So a little bit of a mixed bag, and they were without Kinzie Ryan in Tampa and still managed to get two W's, and I really think that could be a very positive development for them as far as, you know, developing some more key role players and things like that as they go into the region season.
Yeah, Miley Ray in particular, 21 points against East Bay, then against Slam Tampa in a 70-30 win. Miley Ray scores 15 and Genova 13. All the Seahawks, all 13 players scored. Disappointing last place finish at the Holiday Classic, but a nice battle with Chapman that tournament. After that game, they kind of fell flat, but a great bounce back in response last week. Need to work on fundamentals, though, avoiding turnovers, playing solid defense, and need to start games on a high level more often. Playing from behind doesn't get you many wins. Good thing is there's still time to turn the year around before region play begins. They need to get some more things fixed before that starts, and hopefully they can build off of that last win over Slam.
You mentioned Anna Genova. I just wanted to give her a little special shout out. She stepped into the starting lineup with Kinzie Ryan not on the trip, and she averaged 4.3 points, 5.3 steals, 5.7 deflections, 5.3 rebounds, and 1.3 blocks, which is a pretty solid performance from a kid who is usually coming off the bench playing a lesser role. Against Slam Tampa, she had 13 points, 14 steals, 15 deflections, and 4 boards. Just an outstanding performance. She was our defensive player of the week, really stepped up big for the Seahawks. And, you know, hopefully that gives her something to build on so that she can be a bigger contributor in region play. So a solid performance there by Genova and a nice bounce back for the Seahawks to get things back on good footing going into Absolutely. The new year. And we wrap up our girls' public school rankings with Battery Creek at number 6, Ridgeland Hardyville at number 7. Not a lot to talk about with these teams right now. They're struggling a little bit, but hopefully they found some things over the break and they can get some more wins in the second half of the season.
You know, it was a heck of an effort for Battery Creek against Whale Branch. They pushed them to overtime. They don't have one or two dominant girls, but a handful trying their best. I think you got to love an underdog that battles Antoinette Elam in her first year, doing an outstanding job getting the most out of Star Reed, Jalen Morton, and Nani Singleton. Ridgeland Hardyville still the cellar dwellers, but they're pretty competitive against Whale Branch, losing by just 6. Good job by Shanid Swinton putting up 9 points against a pretty darn good Warrior squad, keeping them in that game. So something there positive for Ridgeland Hardyville going forward.
Yeah, both those teams definitely have talented players, and they've been competitive. They just haven't been winning games. So always hope that they will get things turned around in the second half. All right, we're going to move on to the private school ranks now. And again, we've got a pretty clear-cut number one, although they did take a couple lumps since we last recorded. Hilton Head Christian Academy's girls are our number one private school team. They finished fifth at the Savannah Holiday Classic, which meant they went 2-1, which is a really good showing in a very tough tournament. And then they lost in the championship game of the Bullock Academy Holiday Tournament by 1 point to the host team. So a couple of losses on the record for the Eagles, but honestly, I don't think Coach Kenny Conroy minds that at all. He wanted his team to be tested over the break, and that was achieved. They should be a better team in the second half of the season because of what they saw over Christmas break.
Absolutely, and they had a good win over Woodville Tompkins, and it was a tough day at the free throw line. They went 14-32 from the stripe, but they were still able to get the win, much thanks due to Jasmine Campbell. Speaking of hindsight, 2020, 20 points and 20 rebounds in that game. Mary Yanker, some pretty unnoticed efforts to lean to a spot on the all-tournament team in the Savannah Holiday Classic. And you know what, Christian Academy? Some solid results. Don't forget about the efforts of Yanker. Great performance by Campbell. It must be maddening to see that free throw percentage, especially a team that gets to the line a lot, but that's something I'm sure that will be an emphasis this week during practice. But just a shame to blow that lead against Bullock at that last game in the Bullock Holiday Tournament Championship. Blew a double-digit lead. Ended up losing by one. D.R. Shelton with 24 points in that one. But sometimes he just run out of gas after playing all those games in a short time.
Yeah, I think so. And you mentioned D.R. Shelton. She has really emerged as, you know, the, if not the number one option, certainly the number two option to Jasmine Campbell. And that's really allowed Brielle McCarthy to kind of step back into a more traditional pass-first point guard role. And they're going to be really tough to defend if McCarthy can pick her poison and dish it to either Shelton or Campbell. You're going to have to be able to defend both those kids, and that's not an easy task for very many Skeezer teams. One of the teams that is trying to take down the Eagles is John Paul II. We've got them at number two. Probably could make the case for them at number one, given that they are still undefeated. But they still at number two here. I think that's the right spot for them. They've kind of just struggled to blow out the teams that they should beat easily. They're still getting the wins, but just not quite as convincing as you'd like to see. But, man, Tekai DeVore is an absolute monster, and she's going to be a problem for anybody she faces.
Another solid stat line, 27 points, 14 rebounds, and 8 steals. And that win over Patrick Henry. They get a nice holiday break. They're off until Friday, this Friday, January the 3rd. And for John Paul II, one game, but they did get the job done. Excited to see how DeVore fares against these area teams. I'm sure they've been busy scouting her. We also got to talk about Katie Lee Floyd as well, putting up an excellent all-around output in her last game before the break. They've started off very well, but the season really starts after New Year's Day, as I'm sure they know very well for John Paul II.
Oh, absolutely. They've got some huge games coming up here soon. Even just some non-region games against quality local teams like Hilton Head High on January the 7th. That'll be a good test for them. But the ones they've really got circled on the calendar are going to be January 14th against Hilton Head Prep, January 17th against Hilton Head Christian, and January 21st against Buford Academy. That's a run of three consecutive games that are really going to have a lot to do with you know, how well their season shakes out. So that's going to be a fun stretch to watch for all the teams. And at number three, we've got Buford Academy. You could probably make a case for them at two even. Another team that is off to just an absolute dominant start against a schedule that you would expect them to dominate. We'll see how much that holds up when they start to get into a little heavier competition.
Yeah, they got all of Clarendon 61-10, Kayla Washington 26 points, Amelia Hugel 17. Those two girls will continue to carry the load on this team, but can they continue doing it, as you said, against the greatest of competition? I hope they enjoyed some time off during the holidays, because it's now back to work. Tough month of January, starting with prep this Friday. That'll start to tell us how they really fit in with these rankings.
Yeah, that should be a good one against Hilton Head Prep. A couple of scrappy teams. Hilton Head Prep, we've got it number four. They are off to a very impressive start. This is a team that didn't have, you know, any real big names coming back. They have Ella Clark and Kirsten Clark, who are very nice players, but not stars by any means. Haley Hopman is just a great contributor. They've just got a bunch of similar players who just are playing hard, getting it done on defense, and they're getting some wins. We'll see if they can continue it against the stronger competition in the region, but so far so good for the Dolphins.
Yeah, they beat St. Andrews by a score of 24-12, an outstanding defensive performance. It's not easy to hold a team to 12 points in any basketball game. That's a credit to the whole team for taking care of their responsibilities. Some teams coast when they're up 15-0. This team certainly did not the first time, but a little bit did the second time when they got off to a big lead against Habersham, an early 13-0 lead, but that was cut to 5 before halftime, but the Dolphins did hold on. That's a hard part for coaches. I love hearing credit to defensive players. They don't get the love all the time. Kirsten Clark was very important to what the Dolphins did and helped them in the large amount in getting that first win. And also nice to see several players, including Alec Clark, Haley Hoffman, and Abby Mendoza, picking up large amounts of scoring for the prep Dolphins.
Yep, looking good. And then at fifth place, we've got Thomas Hayward. They're off to a rough start. Haven't heard from them over the break to see if they played any tournaments or anything. But tough start so far for Thomas Hayward. But they'll be getting into region play soon and trying to turn things around. So that'll do it for girls basketball. Let's pick our performers of the week. And I have a pretty good idea that I know where you're going with this one, Wes.
Let's see. There's this girl who averaged 20 points, 4.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists, and 3.5 steals in 4 games, including a school record 34 points and a win over Rock Hill in the championship game. You may know her name. Her name is Tequoia Hayward. She's only an 8th grader. Not only does she score, but she puts effort in every possession. She plays at a high energy level every game. Never thought I would think an 8th grader would be a key weapon on a team this year, but it's exactly the case, and she's helped Bluffton reach some heights I didn't think they'd get to this year.
Yeah, I'm excited to check her out in the B-Town Classic this week and see what she can do against some really good competition. So I'm going to go check that out, and hopefully she can keep putting up big numbers and impress me in person. For my performer of the week, I'm going to go to Whale Branch. I'm going to give it to Kainu Barnwell. She carried the Warriors at the offensive end as they went 3-1 at the Blackville Hill to Hawk Invitational. Averaged 22.5 points in 4 games, including 28 in a tough loss to Estill in the semis. She topped 20 in 3 of the games and then came up short with a meager 19 against Ridge Spring Minetta in the third place game. So Kainu Barnwell, just a sophomore, not quite an 8th grader, but still impressive. Just a sophomore putting up big numbers and the second Whale Branch player this season to earn Offensive Player of the Week honors in the 4M medals Loco Girls Basketball Spotlight. So the Warriors off to a great start. Kainu Barnwell, a big part of it. And that's going to do it for our girls basketball coverage for this week. We're going to move on now and talk a little bit about signing day. That would be football signing day. As you'll recall, we had Nick Pringle on to talk about basketball signing day when we first launched the podcast. Now we're going to talk a little football signing day. And we had 3 big signings, 3 Division I level signings in the area. We'll start with, I guess, what you would call the smallest one in terms of school size anyway, and that's Hilton Head Prep quarterback Stone McDonald signing with the Lafayette Leopards. Stone is an awesome kid, Wes, and has been just an outstanding athlete at Hilton Head Prep, and I'm really excited for him to get the chance not only to play at the next level, but to play quarterback at the next level. I know that was his dream, and to get that opportunity is pretty awesome. And you were there for his signing. Just a great day with a great family celebrating a special accomplishment.
Yeah, what a career for Stone McDonald. He's such a great kid, very motivated, driven. 31 games played, had a career completion percentage of 63%, almost 5,200 yards passing, 48 touchdowns, 21 rushing touchdowns. In 2018, he was the season 2A region player of the year. His father is actually a quarterback at Syracuse in the early 90s. And the big story with him is he's battled through some extreme adversity throughout his career. He had to start as quarterback his freshman year as a 14-year-old. That he had to overcome real quick. Then in his sophomore year, he suffered a broken hand. And then this year, he had a injury with his nose early in the year. And he's just battled back after all these adversities, and he's come out on top every time, and what a job he's done. And now I'm really looking forward to seeing him at Lafayette and at the college level. I was able to catch up with his coach and also Stone McDonald as well. So enjoy these interviews from his signing day back in December. All right, I'm now joined by Coach Dave Adams. Well, Coach, first, what are your initial thoughts on the decision for Stone McDonald?
Oh, it's a great fit for him. Division I school, I couldn't be more proud. Academically, it's a good choice for him. And then also a school that he has a chance to actually play at.
That's great. What about his play captivated the Lafayette coaching staff?
Well, he went around. Stone, his dad, did a good job of they marketed him early with throwing camps. And to get on campus and be able to throw the ball live in front of these coaches so they can see his arm and see his live arm, that's the best thing a kid can do in getting recruited. Film's one thing, but they want to see that kid live, and I think that's what got their attention.
And what adversity has he faced during his time as quarterback?
Well, the first adversity was being a 14-year-old starting quarterback that he had to get over real quick. And in sophomore year, he actually suffered a broken hand on his throwing hand. He broke his hand. This year, to start off with that shattered nose in preseason, that he was out about 5 weeks. It was a terrible injury. Never seen anything like that. And to come back right in the middle of the season, basically with no training, was amazing.
That's incredible. How has he grown as a quarterback over the years?
He grew tremendously after that freshman year. You know, being a freshman in the huddle with all those seniors, he wasn't too outspoken. But coming back that sophomore year, he did exactly what you want a quarterback to do, is take charge. And he took charge of the huddle, and even as a sophomore, it was his team at that point.
What were your favorite parts of coaching him?
Two things I remember. I remember playing John Paul his junior year, and at the end of the game, they had to lead. He said, if John Paul misses this field goal, he said, I heard him tell team, he said, we will go down the field and score. And we went straight down the field in about 2 minutes and scored.
Called his shot.
He called his shot. And then also the John Paul game this year is funny because his first game back, we weren't running him a lot because he just getting back into it. And he came to me and said, Coach, if you let me run the ball, I will score. We're on the 50-yard line. And he took it in 50 yards for a score.
Wow, that is awesome.
Yep.
And finally, what's the biggest piece of advice you'll give him for the next level?
You give him, keep working hard. I think rise up to the talent around you. And I think if he does that, he's going to get better and better.
Well, thank you so much, Coach.
Oh, thanks for being here. Appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm now joined by Lafayette Leopard commit Stone McDonald. How are you feeling now it's official?
It's pretty surreal right now. I'm sure it'll kick in later, but I'm very happy.
So what sold you on Lafayette?
Really, it's just a great school academically and football. I don't know. It just felt like a match made in heaven when I went up there.
What has Hilton Head Prep meant to you through the years?
Well, I've been going here since the first grade, so it's all I've really known, and it's given me everything that I've got today, so I'm beyond grateful for everything the school's done for me.
That's excellent. Now, the word that was mentioned a lot today was leadership. How have you carried your leadership throughout your high school career on and off the field?
Really just taking after prior seniors until I got to the point where I was a senior. All my teammates have been great leaders, and I've learned from that. And just other experiences on the field led me to be the person I am today.
How was your feeling being a starting quarterback? Was that ever frightening for you, transitioning to starting for prep?
I was actually terrified my freshman year. I didn't know what to expect or how big the hits were going to be and how fast the gameplay was going to turn out to be. But, I mean, after a little bit, I realized I needed to do this for my team and for everybody and got the hang of it.
Who have been your greatest role models on the road to this moment?
I'd have to say my parents. They've really just showed me how to be a better person and do the right thing, along with my sister, Madeline. She's been a great supporter all my life and just has given me so much positivity and never let me get down on myself.
Finally, how will you contribute to this team as a student-athlete starting this fall?
I'm going to do whatever they want me to do and do it at 100%. I'm going to hit the books and really just try and start strong and then finish strong 4 years later. So I'm ready for it.
Well, Stone, congratulations.
Thank you
and good luck.
Much. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Yeah, I've really enjoyed getting to cover Stone and getting to know his family. Just an awesome family, and wish him all the success at Lafayette. Hope he has a great career there, wrapping up his football career. Who knows? Maybe even going beyond college. You never know what can happen. But a couple other D1 signees, Battery Creek's defensive end Brandon Wilson, picking Georgia Southern. He committed to them way back after his first visit. Had a little bit of a quiet year just because he was the dude on defense for the Dolphins, so nobody really ran at him. They tried to get away from him as much as possible. But he still managed 48 tackles, 9 tackles for loss, 10 sacks, and 3 fumble recoveries. He's already graduated from Battery Creek, so he's going to enroll early at Georgia Southern and start studying computer engineering and participate in spring practice, so he should be ready to hit the ground running in the fall. And Brandon Wilson, another outstanding kid, coach's son, started his career at Dutch Fork and probably could have won a bunch of state championships there, but Pops got the job at Battery Creek, and he came down here and was a Dolphin and gave his heart and soul to that program, and wish him well at Georgia Southern.
And then you could say the big name signing this year was, and you saw it coming, but it happened back in December, and it's Cole DeMars of the Hilton Head Seahawks signing with the Michigan State Spartans wide receiver defensive back for the Seahawks, a 3-sport athlete in high school, honoree All-State, All-Region, and the most important first-team All-Loco in 2019, 102 tackles, 8 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, 2 INTs, and 2 forced fumbles. And he also led his team in receptions with 36 and 663 receiving yards. He said he chose Michigan State, a family environment on campus, and the championship-level football. Excellent job by Cole DeMarzo all year, leading his team to a spot in the postseason. And it's the last time a Seahawk chose a big-name school for football, of course, was Puna Ford, who went to Texas, who's now an NFL starter for the Seattle Seahawks. And Cole DeMarzo played at the Shrine Bowl, marking 8 participants in the All-Star game in Payne's 8-year tenure. And speaking of the Shrine Bowl, what an experience it was for DeMarzo.
Yeah, unfortunately, teammate Christian Miller did not get to play in the game. He got injured in practice and decided he didn't want to risk any further injury by playing in an exhibition game, which was a shame, but he still got to be, you know, got to experience it. And as Cole told us, you know, the game was fantastic, but the Shrine Bowl really was about the experience that's much more than football. They get a chance to visit the Shriners Hospital and help raise money and awareness for kids who are dealing with tough medical situations, and just an awesome experience for those guys. They took over our Instagram and did some fun stuff while they were up in Spartanburg, and great to watch those guys throughout their high school careers, and I'm excited to see what they do at the next level. Cole, of course, at Michigan State, and we're waiting to see where Christian is going to end up, but he's got a lot of options in play, and he's going to be a nice player wherever he goes to play at the next level.
Definitely, and one other signing to mention this past month, and it's a pair of volleyball players from John Paul II. Sisters Hope and Jasmine Hamilton both signed to different Carolina schools. Hope going to Brevard College and Jasmine going to Converse College. Of course, Brevard's in North Carolina and Converse is in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And Hope, 3rd on the team in kills, 4th in digs, had a great year. Led the team with 14 blocks. Jasmine Hamilton led her squad in both digs and kills and was 2nd in assists, both key contributors to the John Paul II Golden Warriors this year. And best of luck to them as they start to get ready to play at the next level at their respective schools. So congratulations to both.
Yeah, pretty cool story to see both of them going on to play at the next level. And the Hamilton family is going to be putting a lot of miles on the car on I-95 and I-26 in the next 4 years, it looks like. Well, speaking of volleyball, we will be rolling out the inaugural All-Loco volleyball team here in the next week or so, putting the finishing touches on that right now. Still looking for a few sponsors. If anybody's interested, you can get in on that for as low as $50. So hit us up at locosports@gmail.com to sponsor the All-Loco volleyball team and honor the area's best. So moving on from volleyball and signings to wrestling, and again, clear-cut number one, they continue to dominate against the local competition and perform well against competition from outside the area. The May River Sharks, a 70-6 win over Hilton Head. That was Hilton Head's first loss in a duel this season. They had 10 pins in that match. Isom Peace with another win over James Levy at 113. They've had a couple of good duels already and are going to have many more. And then the Sharks also, since our last episode, they won the Hanahan tournament, had 3 champs in that one, and then they finished 4th at the Coastal Clash at Hilton Head High with Rod Grant winning another individual championship. He was also the champ at Hanahan. So a great start to the season for May River, and again, they're still trying to get guys in the right weight classes, but they are going to be a factor when we get into the playoffs.
Yeah, Ashley Powell, very proud of the effort So he came out and wrestled really hard, had to get better in several areas, but very pleased on their performance. Guys are fighting hard as they did in football. They are doing the same in wrestling and having some excellence already over some 3A lower state teams. They are stacking up so well against the competition, and they should be fun to watch going forward. And they definitely will be in the mix in the playoffs in the coming months and weeks.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, the one team that we thought would challenge them the most was Buford High, and they gave them a little bit of a fight in the in their duel. But the Eagles, you know, still trying to get some guys into the right weights and fill some holes. They've got some great wrestlers with Michael Cincy, James Dagan, Matthew Durrance, who are winning some tournaments and are performing well in some tournaments, but not quite on the level of May River quite yet, or at least not this year. But they had a couple, they struggled and lost to Bamberg Earhart, which is a little disappointing, but came back and beat their rival Battery Creek. They finished second behind May River at Hanahan and fifth right behind May River at the Coastal Clash. So the gap is not real wide there. They're right there on May River's heels, and we'll see if they can close it by the end of the season.
Yeah, good accomplishment to finish second at the Hanahan tournament out of 16 teams, and Matthew Durrance and Michael Cincy, awesome job them getting the championships in that event, and James Dagan also wrestling really hard, and the team you never should count out, even though how well May River might be doing in the area. Don't forget about Buford.
Yeah, they're going to be one of the top teams in Class 4A all season, I think, and nipping at their heels and trying to steal that region championship will be Hilton Head High. They had a tough night against May River, but Coach Patrick Bulware really felt like that was something that needed to happen. They needed to be kind of brought back to earth. They got a lot of young guys who are contributing and doing well, but sometimes you need to be humbled and experience a little adversity before you can move forward. And hopefully they can get things going back in the right direction and have a great season.
Yeah, Patrick Bulware saying rough night. It was an eye-opener. Hats off to May River. They did very well. But Hilton had learned experience, I think. Came in seventh at Coastal Clash. They probably thought they could have done a little better, but Santiago Rueda, Ian Gardner with third place finishes, but still some time for Hilton Head to improve even further, and they've got some guys who can really run the table, including James Levy.
Yeah, and then Battery Creek, they went 0-2 against Buford and Bamberg Earhart. They then came back and went 2-2 at the Liberty Duels in Georgia, defeated Chapman and T.L. Hanna, and lost to Liberty and South Aiken. So they're kind of about a 500 team right now, but they've got some solid wrestlers and should have some state qualifiers as the season goes along here. And we'll see if they can close the gap a little bit on May River and maybe finish, maybe challenge them for that region title. Whale Branch, we haven't seen a whole lot of results from them yet. They don't wrestle a ton of dual matches just because they don't always have a full lineup in those 2A and 1A schools. But they did sweep a quad match to open their season, beating Cross, St. John's, and Colleton Prep. They've got some guys who are getting some W's, and hopefully they can be a factor in the Class 2A, 1A division. All right, well, that's just about going to wrap it up for us. But before we go, we're going to announce our teams of the week. And I will let you take the first crack, Wes. Who you got for a team of the week?
I'm going to take the Ridgeland Hardyville boys basketball. Excellent performance by the Jags, Sweet 16, going all the way to the finals. Nice to see so many step up other than just Marik Singleton. That's going to serve them well, very well later. But after some rough losses early in the year, a great run for Ridgeland Hardyville to kind of get back where they wanted to and now keep that going into the month of January. So outstanding job by Ridgeland Hardyville in the Orangeburg Sweet 16.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent choice. The Jaguars with a great week. And, you know, it's easy to forget how much they lost off last year's team. But both the Butler boys and Nigel Boozer were all state caliber players. So they're kind of remaking this team on the fly and having to figure out who's going to be the go-to guy and what roles people are going to play. But it seems like it's starting to come together. And they definitely have the athleticism and talent to be a factor in that region and beyond. So a great choice there. You know, I love wrestling, so I'm going to go with my May River wrestling team. They are off to an awesome start. They have been going to tournaments where they put two guys in weight classes and finish first and second or first and third. They've got so much depth, and that's really going to help them when they get into dual matches against competitive teams where they can maybe shift guys around between different weights and get better matchups. So I'm excited to see how far they can take it this year. I think they could be wrestling for a state championship in the duels and should have several guys competing for state championships in individuals. So it's going to be a great season for May River Wrestling.
Yeah, Rod Grant's a gamer and winner no matter what sport he plays. And these guys are just monster athletes who work very hard. I saw the video of Donovan Ling going in from the football field into the wrestling ring and just winning, dominating no matter what sport he plays. And so they got some monster guys, like I said, and I'm excited to see how that will transpire, how well they can do going into the meat of the wrestling schedule and into the playoffs. And man, goodness, it's going to be fun to see this tank excited for wrestling.
All right, I'm going to give you the last word here, Wes. Well, not the last word, but the last team of the week. Who you got for our girls basketball team of the week?
I'm going to take the Bluffton girls. They've been nothing but fire so far, winning the YC Holiday Classic, becoming quite the force in the area on the strength of Aiken and Hayward. And they beat a Rock Hill team in the top 25 in the state, I'd say. Both those girls putting up insane numbers, and the sky's the limit for this Bluffton girls team. What a job. Really, I didn't expect this level of success yet. Wow.
Yeah, get out and check them out at home in the B-Town Classic this weekend. They're playing Thursday night at 7, which many people may not listen to this before then. And then they'll play again Friday and Saturday. Championship game in that tournament scheduled for 3 o'clock Saturday. Hopefully the Bobcats will be in it, and they'll get a nice local following out to see them play for a championship. So it's been a great couple of weeks. It feels like forever since we recorded a podcast, but it's good to be back. And we're so happy that you were here and a part of it. And we want to wish everyone a happy new year. 2019 was a fantastic year for Loco Sports, and 2020 is going to be even better. Thanks for being a part of it. And until next time, go Loco.